Hey there, Red Stringers. Agent Harker here to let you all know that after this week's episode, our little play is going to be taking a brief intermission. We try really hard not to take breaks mid-season, but this particular season has been difficult for a number of reasons, which you're going to hear about extensively in the talkback. And for the sake of everyone's real-life sanity, especially our lone editor, we just need a little extra space to finish things to the level of quality we hold ourselves to. So, for the next 2 weeks, there won't be a new episode dropping. Next week, we're going to give the main feed a tiny little taste of some content that is normally patron exclusive, and the week after that will probably be dark. Regular episodes will start dropping again on March 27th, picking back up with Season 7, Episode 10. If you're a member of our Patreon, keep an eye on the members only feed, as we will hopefully have a fun bonus surprise for you there, and your normal early access will resume the week that we return. Thank you all always for your support, and we hope the anticipation just makes the second half of the season even better. Now, I will go be a harbinger of doom in someone else's podcast, and I hope you all enjoy your normal episode.
Stage management for backstage. Stage management for front of house. Stage management for anyone. Can I get a headset check-in, please? Hello? Am I on the wrong channel? Can I get a response from anyone, please?
I am the one who prowls and listens.
Hello? Backstage?
I am the one who lives in the rustling.
What channel is this? Am I on the wrong band? Who is that?
I am the one who is called, but not named.
Sorry. What?
I am the one who watches and follows. I am the secret and great enemy. I follow thee. Follow and eat away, one by one, all left astray.
Okay, that's it. We have to call a halt. Hello? Hello? Hey! Hey! Can anyone hear me? Hey! Hey!
When we last left the agents of Arcel, they were standing in a mausoleum in the Dolores Mission Cemetery. Before them, there is a tile that's been moved, and a ladder that leads down into the darkness below. Where does Arcel go from here?
I think Rowan is going to walk over cautiously and shine a flashlight down just to see how deep the hole goes.
It goes down you would say maybe 20 feet or so. So it's pretty far. The ladder itself looks to be some kind of worked metal.
Worked metal. How old does it look?
There is a patina and there is some tarnish on the ladder itself, but it doesn't seem as though that it's new construction by any means.
Well, at least it's not stairs.
I feel like this might be worse than stairs. It's a lot sharper, steeper.
What's wrong with stairs?
Just deadpan look at River.
If we're lucky, you'll never need to know.
Not something I would count on.
Yeah.
But
I live on the fourth floor of my building and the elevator doesn't work.
River has a particular history with stairs. They have a nasty habit of breaking under him.
Oh!
Which is to say, it's happened twice in the years that I've known him. But twice is a lot more than most people.
Twice is more than nuns. This is not that, so are we feeling, as River said, better? Are we feeling worse about that?
Well, I'm assuming we're going down the proverbial rabbit hole.
Yeah, I just wonder which area of Wonderland it's going to lead to.
They're all bad.
Pretty much. They're all drug trips. Right. I'll go down first if someone holds the flashlight so I can see what I'm doing.
Reagan will hold it.
Thank you. And I'll slip the gun back into its holster and start descending.
It's a tight climb to get through that piece of tile that's missing. It's not a very wide hall, but you're able to shimmy your way down. About 5 feet down, it opens up into a room about 10 feet by 10 feet by about 10 feet tall, since there is a bit of earth or stone between the ceiling and the area that you came from. You get down to the bottom and you're illuminated by the flashlight above, and you can see the corners of the room here. On the direct opposite wall, you see there is a stone door that is pushed open and is slightly ajar.
I'm going to step away from the direct pool of light and take my glasses off and scan around to see if there's anything that I'm picking up that's weird about this room besides the door.
The room itself looks to be as though it's almost poured concrete. You don't see that there are any seams. It's a near perfect cube. The walls are fairly smooth, almost as though that it's a tension poured concrete itself.
Put my glasses back on and come back to the bottom of the ladder and call up quietly. There's a room down here that looks like it's about a perfect cube and a door leading elsewhere.
Your voice echoes strangely. Even though you brought your volume down, it carried up clearly above. But within the room itself, it reverberated and echoed two or three times, causing a weird feeling within your bones.
There's a room down here that looks like it's about a perfect cube and a door leading elsewhere. Wince and cover my ears.
Did we hear Rowan clearly?
Yes.
Did we hear the reverberations?
No.
Are you good down there?
Yep. 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 Yep.
You notice that it doesn't impact your ears, almost as though that it conducts through your bones itself.
Which is to say, I can't make it go away by covering my ears, so I'm just talking as minimally as possible.
Good call.
Yeah, I'm going to actually climb back up the ladder a little way so that my head gets above the cube, and then try talking when I'm out of that echo chamber.
It does not echo up there.
Okay. Stick my head up on the edge of the floor, look up at everyone. Right, okay. When we're down there, at least in that room, your words echo really weirdly. You can't make it stop, or you can't not hear it by covering your ears. It goes straight through into the bones. It's really weird and really uncomfortable, which is why I'm trying not to talk down there. Let's try not to talk down there at all if we can avoid it. But there is a 10 foot by 10 foot by 10 foot room with a stone door that is slightly open.
Oh, great, a dungeon crawl.
You know, and here I was thinking that it'd been too long since we'd last played D&D.
I guess send the light down next?
Yeah, so I'll go down. If someone wants to drop the flashlight down to me, I'll take it, and then we can work from there.
Maybe he should come last if he's not good with stairs, and so we don't get split up?
Yeah, I'll just wait until you're clear.
Did the ladder feel secure, Rowan?
Oh yeah, it's okay. It's built into the wall.
Okay, then we should be okay.
Hopefully.
If you want to go back down, I will pass you the flashlight when you're ready.
Sounds like a plan. And Rowan will climb back down.
You climb back down. Like I said, the climb itself is very easy. Other than that, it's just a bit narrow up on top.
Rowan, do you have any cell service down there?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll pull out my phone and look at it.
No.
Okay. I think I should wait up here until Baz gets here. He's bringing something that I think might be helpful.
What would be his ETA? Because Baz is driving down from SAC.
Yeah, did we get... I feel like we got that.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that was a little while ago.
That was like 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
We've got plenty of time. If you want to stay up here and wait for Baz.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to set a stopwatch on my phone. And after an hour, I'm going to turn around and go back up if we haven't already.
That sounds like a good plan. I hope it works.
Fair.
And I will drag someone with me because I'm not going back up by myself.
Yeah. Agreed upon. Reagan will go ahead and follow down.
You make it down, no problem. Everyone makes it down into the room. The noise here feels muffled. Noises themselves don't really echo other than voices. You see that there is a stone door that's slightly ajar across the way.
Once everyone is gathered, I'll set up again with the flashlight and the pistol and look through the door and start edging in that direction. Like, if I can get through the door, start going that direction.
You put your shoulder into the door. It's a little bit tight, but with a little bit of push, it opens up. You are looking at a long hallway that has been shored up with wooden beams and pillars along the side that's dug into the earth. Now, everyone knows that San Francisco has a series of tunnels underneath, oftentimes used by unsavory folk way back in the gold rush era and then beyond, especially when folks were needed to be put onto ships. This appears to be one of those, or at least dating back to then.
Right, I'm gonna get my pistol out, and I will look at the others, point to myself, and then Ross, and then Ari, and then Reagan. And then I will follow Rowan.
I'll do exactly what the man with the gun says.
Good life choice.
I'll follow as soon as there's room.
The ceiling itself is fairly tall, and it looks as though the wood is old. It seems as though that it's been dried, and you think that it might be stable. The pathway leads off into darkness, and you move along slowly, flashlight and firearms in hand.
I'm going to take out my cell phone and use the light on it to try and help.
Give me an alertness roll.
Everyone?
No, just Ari.
Oh, shit. 10. That's a success. I think that's my first success. Wait, is that a good thing, though?
I don't know.
You see written on one of the pillars, there is something scratched into the wood, like ancient graffiti, if you will.
Since we're not talking right now, I'm going to sort of tap the person in front of me and then go over and look at it.
The wood is deeply etched. It says, "The old king is dead, and I shall take his throne. At last the old man is in the bosom of the world, and I shall take his place, putting my sister at my side."
That is on a random, like, side of the pillar.
Not a random side itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is the outward-facing side of this pillar. This pillar is also looks to have been painted red.
Ari looks at that and then sort of gestures to everybody to come over and look at it. And then gives a gesture like talking and then a shrug. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Rowan will say out loud, "Might as well give it a try." And then wait to see what happens with the echoes.
The echo does not exist in the hallway.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Yes, go ahead and talk then. What did you see? What is this?
Okay, so it says right there, "The old king is dead, and I shall take his throne. At last, the old man is in the bosom of the world." So, the old king, the, you know, horned one. But then, right here, "And I shall take his place, putting my sister at my side." Remember how I said that there's the whole, incestual relationship and sexual desire with Camilla?
Yes.
And also that the king must have a queen?
Yes.
I think we're I'm just saying, if Uot was the version in this play, maybe we're looking, because the names change sometimes, I think we're looking at Uot here. Elder or younger, I'm not sure, but that's what it looks like.
Can I tell, like, how recent this writing is?
It's been here a long time. A long time. Maybe 100 years.
Right. So this is old news. Whatever was going to happen has probably already happened long ago.
Everybody give me a luck roll as you're standing there looking at this pillar.
50.
Ooh.
69.
Nice.
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 12.
3.
Oh. Reagan?
I never know how to interpret this one. I have a 00.
Oh, no.
And a 1.
Oh! Whew.
That's correct, right? We're good?
Yes, that's a 0-1. We're very Gucci. Okay. So the only person that did not succeed is the person that's currently enraptured in the writing and kind of thinking about that. That's Ari. The rest of you notice that the other pillars here were not painted. And your eyes look up, and your flashlights follow your eyes. And you see across the top, there is a bracer that's also red. And the pillar on the opposite side of the room is red. All of the pillars have been wood color in brown and dirt. This pillar goes up and over you, and it is red. Almost as though that it's red like a Japanese torii arch. As an example.
So it's like an archway?
It's a doorway.
It is an archway. It's a doorway. It's a deliberate doorway.
And have any of us passed through it already?
Yes.
I want to check the other pillars for writing.
The pillars behind or the pillars in front?
The other red pillar.
On the other side, there is not, but you do see that something is etched in. It looks as though that it's been scratched away. I would like you to make an archaeology roll for me.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's a first.
Do you have that?
I have a 0 in archaeology.
Well, there's 1%. There's always a 1% chance, because Dan abides by the rule that you'll always have a little bit of a chance here.
Hey, you can get a checkmark.
32.
You get a checkmark.
Okay.
You're not sure what was underneath what was scratched out from here. Now, the hallway does continue on in the darkness.
If I look back the way we came, can I see any other colors painted on columns?
No. The other pillars behind you were all earthen colors, natural colors. Maybe they were treated with tar, but they were not painted.
So, just a theory? Color is always significant. You know, in a lot of things, a lot of cultures and folklore. Anyway, that could be Uot, specifically being red. I don't know, but if we see other colors, it could be significant. So just keep an eye out.
Is he, like, becoming the Crimson King or something?
Yeah, maybe. Or remember the whole masking, unmasking, and maybe doffing one color and donning another one? Oh, wait a second. No. No, the queen wears red. The queen always wears red. Sorry, I forgot that for a second.
Interesting. Okay, well then we will keep an eye on that going forward. Though, and Rowan will gesture at this doorway, trying to draw Ari's attention to it. Much about doors in the play?
Nothing specific, but, you know, doorways, entry or gateway to something else. Who knows? Could be. Nothing specifically like colors are, or masks.
All right, well, the only way to find out is by doing, I suppose.
You move forward along the hallway, and it seems as though that you're walking for a good couple hundred yards in a straight line. Knowing what you know about San Francisco and the depths of where you're at, you are probably underneath one of the taller hills in the city itself. being on guard and being hyper aware, you see a pillar up ahead that is also painted red. Now, as you view it from where you're at, it seems as though that the tunnel is getting tighter. Instead of being 10 foot tall, it's maybe 9 foot tall here and 9 foot wide. You come upon the pillar and you see that there is something etched on the opposite side of the tunnel from where the writing was last time. You see there's writing etched into this pillar. And on the same side, you see a spiral painted in yellow paint on the pillar itself. The other pillar reads, "The old king is dead. The enemy haunts our borders, seeking any sign of weakness. We cannot allow them to enter. They will speak the words and summon that which sleeps in ...
It actually is carved into the wood ...
Yes, period.
It's the siege of, you know, the place. I'm starting to wonder maybe we shouldn't say the name, because it looks like it's not said here.
The C word?
Scottish play style?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a thing, but seems like it could be.
I am perfectly here to not invoke the name of anything.
Crazier things have happened to us.
True. Tragically.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rowan's actually looking back and forth, noting the narrowing of the underground passageway. She's generally more under control these days, but the feeling of claustrophobia is starting to get to her.
Looking up, you do see that there is writing on the pillar above you. And part of it makes you shiver, as there is one line that brings back some memories. The writing here reads, "The king is dead, the queen still lives. The queen still lives, so we put the old king into the old bitter earth. Into the old bitter earth."
I'll look at the others and gesture with the flashlight up at the words. That make any more sense to anyone?
I mean, none of this makes sense.
It's just kind of starting to sound like the precursor to Hamlet.
A little bit, actually, now that you mention it.
I mean, there is one version where it was about Casilda had survived and she was now a mad queen, and it was about dethroning her and... Wait, that was the same version with the colors, yeah. With Uot and Camilla taking her place.
You know anything about bitter earth? It seems like that phrase might have some special meaning.
No, I mean... I would have to go through my notes. I don't have anything, most of them with me, but nothing jumps to mind.
Are you copying these down?
Oh yeah, yeah. And you look and he's got his phone out where he's already typing notes.
Then we can check them against your notes when we get back. Ross, how are we on time?
Half an hour in.
I check my stop. We're about 30 minutes in.
All right, let's keep going then.
Before we leave, I'm going to make sure to snap some pictures of the words.
You're able to take pictures, and even when you look back at your gallery, they're there.
Oh, good.
The player was curious about that.
Carrying further on, you see another pillar. The ceiling has dropped to 8 feet, and the width of the tunnel has also shrunk by another foot. The writing on the right-hand side of the wall states, "The old king is dead, and there is no one to replace him. As the prophecy said, I am alone, and alone I will die and watch the end of all things. All things." Looking across the way, there is writing on the other pillar, opposite. "The old king is dead, and mother weeps. The throne will be mine and mine alone. No king beside me, mine alone." And above, written on the ceiling brace, "It waits for all of us."
So that's Camilla talking. because mother is gone, she's the daughter, and no king, so her brother is gone. This siege, I guess, is successful?
Was the queen the enemy that was besieging them?
No, it's the Hyades. The people of the Hyades, like we heard.
The Castilians people.
Yeah. And the end of all things? That rings a bell, but I think it's just from Lord of the Rings.
It's also an episode of The X-Files.
I mean, end of all things is a fairly useful generic term.
Yeah, I remember in Buffy they said, it's the end of the world, and everybody else said, again?
It's the end of the world? Oh, must be a Tuesday.
And with that, you carry deeper into the earth.
Rowan is definitely, like, going through breathe. Like, if people are paying attention, which they might not be because she's in the front, she is definitely, like, controlled breathing exercises. Because it is getting way too small in here.
I don't know that there's enough light for us.
Yep.
To tell. I'm assuming we're still kind of in order.
Probably the same order.
Yeah. So I think I'm closest to you, but I just don't know that there's enough light.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It does narrow down about 100 yards again. Now you're able to reach up and touch the ceiling, if you so chose. And on an archway, on all three posts, we will return to the city and mourn there. The ground and the air and the sky are too cold here. As soon as you step past, you see that there is a very large metal door that is worked with vines and roses and other flowers. There is a large handle to pull the door open. It looks as though that it is closed.
What's the time check?
45 minutes in.
If we're going to meet your friend, I don't know if we want to go through another door that we don't know what's on the other side.
We have about 15 minutes from when we said we'd turn back.
He said 2 hours. That was a little over 45 minutes ago. We've spent a lot of time stopping and looking at engravings and taking photos. We can probably go a little, like another 20 minutes. And I don't think we all need to go back. I think maybe me and one other person could go back.
I don't think we should split up.
I kind of agree with that. He won't leave straight away if he can't find you, would he?
I would assume he would try to call me, but there's no cell service, so that's...
Sure, but that still gives us a little bit of leeway. It's not 2 hours and he's gone.
Right. We'll probably wait there 15, 20 minutes more, maybe more.
All right, then let's keep going another 20 to 25 minutes and then make fast time back. Assuming that whatever we see on the other side of the door doesn't immediately send us scrambling backwards, which is possible.
Right. Well, anybody actually know how to check a door for traps?
Kind of.
How are you going to check a door for traps?
I'm going to look for any trip wires that are attached to the handle that might get pulled when pulling it. Look for any traces.
You do know a lot about trip wires.
Shocking amount, actually.
Explosive amount.
Quite.
Mechanically, like, is that... Could that be a component of, like, search?
There are none.
Okay. I'm gonna reach out a hand and try the door. Is it locked?
You pull on the door, and it does give way a bit. It fights you a little bit and takes some strength to open, but not a ton. Let's just say it's just slightly stubborn to open, if we were to assign a anthropomorphic ideal to it, or emotion.
Mutter quietly, "Open says me."
It opens. And "open says me" echoes back to you about 4 times as you see another 10 by 10 by 10 room with a ladder on the other side. At the base of the ladder, you see that there is a key ring on the ground, a modern key ring.
I immediately think of Cornelius O'Keefe's key ring. Is this that?
It is that. It has the nice little Corvette badge on it as well.
Just to be certain, this ladder goes up?
This ladder does go up.
And are there any other doors that lead out of it?
No.
Okay. So, wincing at the echo, I'm going to walk in and pick up the keys.
You pick up the keys. They do not echo like your voice did. You shine your light up. It's nearly identical, but mirrored, as the room before.
Is there any light coming from above?
No.
Okay. Even my eyes need some light. So I'm going to holster the gun and take the flashlight in my teeth and start climbing to see if I can find the trapdoor.
You climb up about 20 or so feet and you come to a solid trapdoor. The trapdoor, with the flashlight in your mouth, you see that it does have a recessed handle that you could use to pull down the trapdoor, but it also gives you something to grip onto to kind of push up as well.
I will do that.
Go ahead and give me a strength roll.
Oof, 96 out of 50.
Ooh, this is a little too heavy for you to push. You give a couple grunts and you just can't get underneath it well enough.
All right, I'm going to climb back down and point at Ross because I know that he's a gym rat.
Ross had already heard the grunting and was like, okay. And I guess motion with the flashlight, like to hold it.
Yeah, I'll take position where I think I can get it through. Because if it's as narrow as the other one, it might be fairly difficult for the light to follow them all the way through. But I'll do my best.
So I'll go up the ladder and try to open it.
You get to the top, and as soon as you put your hand on it, you feel a warmth on your face, just right above your eyes, and it opens with ease. It doesn't even creak as it opens. There is a little bit of ambient light in here, and it's flickering as though it's from candles. You climb up, and you are in a room that's, you know, maybe 20 by 20. There are benches here. There is a large statue to your right. There are stained glass windows behind the statue, and there's a metal grate door that is open. Beyond, it looks like you're leading into a park. The smells of fresh, green, wet vegetation. Not something that's rotting, but something that is vibrant.
So it does not smell like the cemetery.
No, it does not smell like cemetery. It also does not smell like San Francisco in the middle of the winter.
I'll get all the way out and leave the door open. And I'm assuming light shines down through.
A little bit, yes. There is some ambient light that comes down.
I'll look up at that and then kind of shrug, having not heard any screaming or anything, and stick my flashlight in my pocket and follow up.
I'm just kind of slowly looking around, I guess looking for any immediate danger.
No, you don't see any immediate danger. It seems to be pretty calm here.
Once Rowan is all the way up, I want to follow up.
You make it up top. Rowan makes it up, River makes it up. Who's going next?
Oh, I'm not staying down here alone.
Yeah, I was going to say, Reagan is going to make Ari go before she brings up the rear.
Okay, and when I get to the top, I'm going to immediately pull out my phone and open the mapping app to get my location.
The mapping app does not pull up. It says it's downloading offline maps.
Is there cell service?
It's stating H+ for the service.
Toto, I don't think we're in San Francisco anymore.
Took the words right out of my brain.
All right. I guess I'll look out the window and see if I recognize the landscape.
It looks like you're in a park, like a nice green park.
What is the statue in here with us?
It looks as though that it is a woman. dressed in regal and hooded clothing. She has a crown sitting upon her head, even though she is hooded, and looks as though that she's half veiled as well.
Is there any red?
No, it's just stone.
Half veiled, masks, maybe crown. It goes with everything we saw. This could be her, maybe.
I mean, it sounds like there's only two hers that it could be, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
We can work off of process of elimination, if nothing else.
I'm still not clear on, you know, what's the distinction between the two, but I'll probably forget after you tell me anyway.
Well, and Ari's already, like, has his mouth open, ready to jump in to explain it all.
And Rowan will just reach over and put a hand on his shoulder in the off-button gesture.
The smell here, it smells alive. It smells verdant. It smells like spring. Not the smell that you'd normally smell in the city. Outside, like I said, there are trees and shrubs and ferns. You see, there are some fiddlehead ferns not far away. There is a pathway that leads out from this building. If you step outside and look back, you see that this looks to be of some Greek-inspired type of architecture, as the pillars on the outside are fluted, and the roof does have a bit of a cant to it. It is made of worked stone.
Okay, maybe I missed something. Is it still nighttime here?
Yes, it is still nighttime. There are a few candles lit within the building itself. They are white candles, and they are dripping wax.
I'm going to take my flashlight out of my pocket and shine it into my palm to make sure it works here, wherever here is.
It does.
I'm just, because you're describing what we can see outside, and is there like a light source out there or anything?
How many moons are there?
Well, you go outside and you look and there's one. And then the cloud moves and you see a second, smaller one that's bluish in color.
Does the original one appear to be like what we would recognize as our moon then?
No. No, it does not. It looks similar, but the color is more of a very faint, pale blue. It might be made of blue cheese and not cheddar, like the mouse hopes.
As the moon comes out, you just hear, "I can see Carcosa."
I think we all can, Ari.
Everybody give me a sanity roll.
Fuck.
No.
Thanks a lot, Ari.
I knew we should have sent Ross back.
Ought to.
Okay. Rowan?
45 out of 65.
Ari?
29 out of 65.
Ross?
72 out of 50.
Regan?
21.
Out of?
Oh, 84.
Ross, you only lose 1 point of sanity.
I'll take it.
Are you going to push it
off? Yeah, that's actually, I will pass that off. I will push that off onto California State Senator Oscar Hernandez.
Oh, no.
I'm going to check my phone once I kind of calm down a minute.
You're just at about an hour.
Okay. Are we still not splitting up?
I think that if we're in the place that we're not wanting to name, splitting up might be a really bad idea. Either all of us stay and explore or all of us leave.
Agreed.
So, did you want to head back since you're an hour away?
Well, I don't think it'll take me a full hour to get back.
Mm-mm.
Maybe an hour to get to the coffee shop. If we want that book, I think we need to go back.
But we're here. We can't just turn around now.
If you stay here and wait for me, I think we'll be fine. If I go with, like, Reagan and we come right back.
I don't know how I feel about just kind of, like, leaving folks here to, like, hang for what is ostensibly going to be, I don't know, an hour and a half.
I'll wait maybe another 15 minutes or so. Because I don't think it... Because we took our time going down that hallway.
We did. I'm curious about what we're going to achieve in 15 minutes, because we have literally no idea. Like, this is a massive place, and we have no idea what is going to be in here that is of value for us to know.
Right. That's why I don't think we should just leave, because who knows if we could, I don't know.
And, you know, remember, we're, for all effective purposes, we're in Faerie right now. We could get back and find out that it's been 20 years.
Yeah, that too.
And I'm not sure where we crossed over. It might have been that first doorway, or maybe it was all of them. So, here's what I'm going to ask, I suppose. How desperately do we need the book right now? Because you have it, right? This isn't something that someone else is loaning to you. This is something that your flatmate is bringing to you because he's being nice.
Right. I just don't want
it. So do we need it desperately, like, right this second?
No, but I just feel bad about leaving him on red, basically, after driving to the city for 2 hours.
No, I completely understand that. And it's not something that I generally recommend, especially if you want to maintain good relationships with flatmates. That said, I think this may be taking precedence.
River, you get a text message.
What the hell?
It's asking you about your extended car warranty.
Why don't you text your friend?
Yeah, if once I hear that River's gotten a text, I will see if I can...
You get a text message.
What is my text?
Text from Baz. There's an accident on the Bay Bridge. I'm not moving.
Okay, in that case, I will text him the address of the hotel we're staying at and tell him to leave the book with the front desk for my name and 1,000 apologies.
A few moments later, you get a message back. Are you with Redacted? Because I had to translate that from Russian.
Which Redacted did he say?
You.
It wasn't me.
Huh.
I'll
catch Ross's expression, but what?
I'll show her the text.
You look at the top bar. The top bar is in Cyrillic.
Mutter the words out loud to myself, like, yeah, no, that's the mess. What? Why Russian?
I'm going to tell him no. I'm going to say, that's weird. So I'll text back, no, but that's really weird. Hopefully talk to you soon to figure this all out.
I mean, technically, yes, you are with me, but I didn't type that message. I don't text in Russian unless I'm texting my mom.
Wait, what's in Russian?
Reply comes back, very funny, Tagalog. I'm glad you're using Google Translate. Okay, buddy, I'll drop it off at the hotel.
I'll just text back, haha, I thought you'd get a kick out of that, and put away my phone.
Interesting.
Okay, well, that solves that issue.
All right. Looks like something's going weird with the translation between worlds? Question mark? Shrug?
Yeah,
my
roommate said he's getting these texts in Russian and then Tagalog, and yeah, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to put my phone away, and we're going to, I guess, go explore some random country.
Better than that, a random planet, apparently.
Yeah, I'm really tempted to send a picture of those moons to Katie, but with my luck, it would brick my phone.
How many have you bricked since I've known you? I don't think you should take the risk.
We should start investing in, like, film cameras, maybe?
Ooh, go back to the 90s aesthetic.
Yeah, I think a disposable camera setup might not be a terrible idea for this group.
That's not
a bad
idea.
You might have a point there.
All right, well, I imagine then if we're outside, we're standing on this path.
I would believe so, yes.
All right, well, let's find out where the path goes. I don't have any better ideas. Ari, you have all this knowledge about the play. Does it have any information about the setting?
I mean, it's a play with stage direction, so it's mostly in the dialogue, usually, at least the one I read. I don't know, follow the yellow brick road?
It's kind of a bluish hue under the moon, but I take your point.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I feel like if there were any people really close by, they would have heard us talking by now and come to find out what's going on.
Nevertheless, I would still recommend that we operate under the assumption that our words have power and we might be able to summon things if we talk about them too casually.
Treat it like
especially, fairy. Yeah, especially since we're not sure where we are.
Oh, I'm pretty sure where we are.
Well, considering there are so many interpretations of where we are, we can't really be sure where we are. Does that make sense?
Okay, I'll go with it. But
the rules aren't necessarily quite the same all the time.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it had to start somewhere with the real archetype before it got translated down, but okay.
No, I think you're right, but in the same way that there are many different versions of holy texts because, say, a church keeps ordering new ones, it's hard to trust any particular version.
Oh, of course. I'm just saying it had to start somewhere. But yeah, no, I agree. I won't say anything.
So, let's follow this path and see where it goes.
It winds through a forest of hardwood trees. The canopy overhead is fairly sparse. It's not a very thick canopy, but still green and luscious. The ferns underneath and brush underneath has a bit of a dewiness to it.
Are these earthly plants?
They seem to be.
Okay.
As you're cresting a bit of a hill, you hear what sounds like a music box playing. And it gets a little bit louder as you carry on. You also hear what sounds like glass wind chimes. And underneath the moonlight, you see a very large tree, almost like a weeping willow. Hanging from the tree and hanging from the branches are hundreds of small glass vials that are tied by twine to the branches. There is a hurdy-gurdy positioned against the tree with a sign above it hanging off the tree.
I mean, unless someone stops him, Ari's going to go read the sign.
Please wind me, lest they escape.
Oh, we're playing Five Nights at Freddy's 2 now. Cool.
Huh?
Nothing, Ari. Is this something that we should wind? Is that... Is it currently going? Like, that's the music box that we're hearing?
Yes, the hurdy-gurdy is the music box that you're hearing, and it is still playing.
Nothing about trees or vials or...
This is...
special music?
Fey Realm? The she, maybe? I don't know.
Hopefully it's more she than unsealing.
I want to take a closer look at the vials.
They're small. They're maybe the size of your pinky. There's an opaque liquid inside. Even if you shine a flashlight through it, you do see that there is a bit of a shadow of something within.
Well, it looks like there might be something in there to escape.
I mean, if you want me to, I know in theory how to play the hurdy-gurdy from research, but I've never actually picked one up.
It probably has some sort of winding mechanism. It sounds more like a music box than anything else. Also, with vials of that size, my first thought is like larva, eggs. And I'd like that to not wake up. Because there's a lot of them.
A hurdy-gurdy doesn't usually play on its own, but I can wind it if you want.
That seems like a good idea. Or at least it's not the worst idea I've heard in the last 5 minutes.
I guess I'll pick it up.
Okay. You pick it up, and it's fairly heavy. It's heavier than you thought it would be. It's very bulky, and it's solidly made. It doesn't feel as though that it's made from parts that are moving that should not move. The music is coming from it, and it vibrates through your body, as well as, you know, makes a beautiful, lovely sound. You give a few cranks on the wheel there.
Mm-hmm.
You give a couple cranks, and the music tempo picks up only slightly, and just if you have the ear to hear it. But it does sound more vibrant, a little bit stronger. The stench of death picks up on the wind. You've smelled this before. You followed.
I suppose we did.
Did you close the door?
I wasn't the last one through.
Were thou'st born with the sheep?
I think it's wert's thou born with the sheep, but whatever.
Fine. I'll go close the door.
Very much appreciated, thank you.
Quietly to Rowan, do we want him closing the door? Is that our only way out?
A door implies it can open again. I don't think we're trapped here. If we were following, I think we're okay.
Do we really want to make an enemy here?
Right, okay.
The smell passes, and it seems though that it fades and moves behind you from where you're at. Do you wish to continue to charge this hurdy-gurdy, or are you going to put it down?
I'm probably sort of on autopilot at this point until I'm told otherwise. I've figured out by now that I'm here as a reference book and not a decision maker.
You feel confident that you've wound it enough and you place it back where it was, underneath the sign. Ahead of you along the path, it does split. And you do see that there is a signpost further up, but you'll have to walk up to read it.
Onward.
I would like to keep an eye on the horizon for anything that looks like a hotel.
I mean, have we seen any buildings besides the mausoleum?
No, not yet.
That's comforting.
The sign says Holly to the right and Alar to the left.
Yep, we're definitely here. Holly is the lake and Alar is the city.
Well, I suppose we want to go to the city then, unless there's some reason to go to the lake.
Not a specific one, it's a recurring feature. But so is Alar.
Is there anything special about the lake as it recurs?
Not really. It just sort of shows up a lot in a lot of the different versions. Some of them have specific things about the lake, but nothing in common.
Alright, then let's go ahead and head toward the city. Maybe it'll be quiet, because it's dark and nighttime.
Well, just remember, being under siege does show up in a few of them, so hopefully not.
You head off toward the city. When you break through a bit of the forest, you see ahead of you a large towered city. There's walls, and there's a lake on both sides. And it looks like there is a very long bridge to reach the city. Ahead of you, there is a smaller bridge and a outbuilding. And as you get closer, someone steps out. They are hooded and hunched over. This does not look like a toll booth attendant crossing the Bay Bridge. The clothing itself, as you get a little bit closer and underneath the moonlight there, you can see it is a sickly yellow in color.
But no antlers?
No antlers.
What about a mask or anything covering the face?
There's a hood. As you get a bit closer, they stand up to their full height, and they're about 6 foot tall. They draw back the hood, and you do see a mask, and the mask has exaggerated eyes, very large. And the lower portion of the mask covering the mouth is opened, so it's only covering the nose on up. The jaw comes to a sharp point. Not unnaturally sharp, just pretty pointy chin.
You wish to cross?
We do.
You must pay the tax.
What is the tax?
I need teeth. 5, 1 for each to allow you to pass. And he shakes a bag, and you hear
what you think is teeth in a leather bag. It makes your stomach kind of twist just a tiny bit.
It is not easy for us to remove our teeth.
Such is the tax.
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, I'm inclined to that same opinion.
Then you shall not pass or cross.
Do they need to be our teeth?
He smiles a toothless grin. No.
Can we have some of your teeth and then we'll give them to you?
He doesn't have any teeth.
The ones in the bag.
No.
It was worth a shot.
Twas. He looks at Ross. You should know this. And he bows.
Don't love that.
If you bring me 5 teeth, I shall allow you to pass. As decreed by the king.
Which king? The old or the new?
The only.
Right, of course.
We will be back in that case.
And I will be here.
Well, I hope the king and queen are well.
He reaches into the bag and pulls out a tooth and jams it into his lower jaw. He bites down and you hear it crunch and shatter. I hope you come back soon.
As long as you don't eat them in front of us, 'twould be ideal. Right, shall we off?
Yeah.
Don't have to ask me twice.
Yep.
I was afraid to ask if they need to be human teeth.
I mean, if we fulfill the letter of the requirement without... it could.
He did just say teeth.
There's a not insignificant amount of roadkill in the city.
So this doesn't help with where to get the teeth, but it's an interesting sort of parallel with Heimdall from the Norse mythology, who the watcher or guardsman of the bridge sometimes. But a lot of times he was called Gold-Toothed Heimdall. So I don't know, it just popped into my head.
Well, like you said, lots of archetypes pull from the same thing. Could very well be that this is what that archetype was pulling from.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bridge of rainbows, but, you know, things get lost over the centuries and translated down.
And embellished and retold, and yes, this is why we don't trust stories.
So, roadkill, butcher, where are we going?
Not here. And Ross starts walking back towards the little shed.
Do we want to go look at the lake while we're here?
That was going to be my suggestion.
I think we might as well.
Yeah, I guess if we're not sure if we can get back easily.
Get the lay of the land at least.
Well, yeah. I don't want to just turn all the way around just to get teeth and then like come back if we can do a little bit more exploring.
Agreed. All right, so we'll head back down along the path to the fork in the road, and when we hit the fork, follow the path that leads toward the lake.
It takes a few minutes to get back, and the trip seems quicker going back than it was forward. But that's usually the case anyway. As you head toward the lake, the elevation drops along this pathway. Walking up from the lake is another hooded figure. This one walks with a bit of a jump in their step, a little more lively. There is a smell of sweet basil and spearmint in the air as they're coming up. They stop at a bit of a distance and their face is obscured in the moonlight. And you see that the clothes that they're wearing would not be out of place in downtown San Francisco or a downtown American city. It looks like they're wearing fashionable pants, a knockoff Doc Marten boot, but they do have like a bit of a cloak overhead. But then again, you folks have seen some other stranger things. They stop and they're still a bit of a distance away, about 60 feet. And it looks as though that they're looking nervously at their surroundings.
You folks wouldn't happen to be actors, would you?
No, I'm not an actor.
Where are you from?
Venezia, originally.
Italia?
Si.
We're from America.
Oh, okay. You are not from... How did you get here?
We walked.
How did you get here?
It's a long story that gets repeated over and over again. And she walks forward and takes back her hood, and you see that she has beautiful blonde hair, cut very short, but the hair is magnificent. Her eyes reflect the moon with a beautiful blue, nearly magical gaze. Not saying that it is magical, but I'm saying that it's, her eyes are just, they're breathtaking. You do notice that she has ash, or like a gray ashiness around her mouth.
Like she's been eating ash?
Or her skin is turning to ash?
No, more like she's been eating ash. She walks forward, and as she does, you see that her breath kind of gives off a bit of that steam from an early morning. What are your names?
I'm called River.
Hello, River. My name is Portia.
Hello, Portia. How long have you been here?
I don't know.
Do you like it here?
It's fine.
All right, well.
What is your name?
You can call me Nat.
No, what is your real name?
I don't give that out.
Okay, then.
I'm curious. When you came to this place, what year was it back where you came from?
She closes her eyes. I don't know, really.
But you knew about the United States of America.
No, you said Amerigo.
But Amerigo's a person.
Yes.
So we wouldn't be from him, so what did you mean?
Unless we were sent from him.
You are not of his people?
Well, he's Italian.
And she just looks at you. You are not Sardinian? You are not Milanese?
Have you heard of the New World at all?
I heard a song.
Oh?
A young boy sang it to a princess.
Well, we would quite like to go to the lake.
All right. Certainly welcome to do so. I must return back to my husband.
Who is your husband, if I may ask?
Brutus.
I see.
Have you met Brutus?
I don't believe I have.
He is currently in the city waiting for me.
We weren't able to get to the city. We didn't have the toll.
No, it's because you're outsiders. Foreigners must pay the toll.
You don't happen to have any teeth, do you, on you, that we could have?
I do not. She opens her mouth, and you see that all of her teeth are blackened. I fulfilled a promise to my husband and ate coals, but yet I awake every day. But I do have some clams. And from her side bag, she opens up and pulls out a few semi-closed clams, and then puts them back in. Well, I'll be off. An invader's near, be careful. As she sniffs the air.
Do we smell the smell of death?
Not yet.
Are invaders still a problem here?
War is always a problem. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
As we're leaving in Latin, I want to say, enjoy the Lupercal.
She turns and smiles and walks with a little bit more pace than before. The smell hits after she leaves.
So, I know we need to deal with the smell, but that was Portia from Shakespeare.
You damn fools left it open. Someone got through.
In the last 15 minutes?
Tend to his body, as he is your responsibility. I've taken what I've needed.
Where is this body?
Just outside the Cancelo.
Then we will deal with it.
Good. I have business to attend to.
What business is that?
A king must die.
The new or the old?
The smell disappears. You've not really seen this guy.
No. All right, let's go find out who's dead.
And take their teeth.
I'm Tiana Hansen, and I play Rowan.
I'm Seth Jones, and I play River.
I'm Joseph Newman, and I play Ross.
I'm Christy Bauer, and I play Reagan.
I'm Ben Soslowski, and I play Ari.
I'm Dan Voskevich, the Handler. Our story is based upon the role-playing game Delta Green by Arc Dream Publishing. Delta Green is created by Dennis Detweiler, Adam Scott Glancy, and John Scott Tynes. Season 7 is an adaptation written by me, Dan Voskevich, based on the fragments of the King chapters written by John Wick, Toby Abad, Fabian Badia, Ben Warner, and Rob Justice. Our intros this season were written by Alondra Heilman and performed by Grant Corvin, with additional voices by John Wick, Fabian Badia, and Ben Warner. If you like our story, there are a few ways you can support us. First, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/theredactedreports. Patrons of our podcast will receive early access to episode, Rowan's written reports for each story, as well as other goodies and opportunities exclusive to our patrons. We offer special thanks to our $20 and up patrons, Stephen Schwartz, Danny, Tom Padula, Kit Thompson,
Lady Bedivere,
Heather Ney, Jen Obertaz, Bomb Clancy, Naya Fenris, Shrek Manning, Red Dead Coquette, Ginger Fury, Dr. Christian Lehman, Devils, Robbie Nowell, J. Matthews 85, Flynn Gallagher, Phoenix Team Handler Dennis, Knitting Daddy Greg, Multicam Yeti, Scott Miller, Rogue, Jacqueline Parrish, and Monsieur Quack. If you can't support us directly, that's okay. Please support us by telling people about us. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on all the usual social media sites. Also, check out our website, www.theredactedreportspodcast.com. All of our handouts are archived there, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to Agent Harker through the contact form there. The Redacted Reports is edited and produced by Tiana Wren Hansen and is distributed by Quest and Chaos. If you like what you hear with us, give Quest and Chaos YouTube channel a visit. They play Dungeons & Dragons and Call of Cthulhu on a weekly basis and have a bunch of content archived on their YouTube channel. Additional undercurrent music, Rowan Rising, was composed and orchestrated by Alan Strickland, A-L-L-E-N. You can find him at alanstrickland.net for his classical compositions. Join us next week. In the sins of the father, retribution comes due. Beryl Spald dwindle to anxious supply, and we face a threat with such a human gall, we cannot succumb, lest it gluttonizes us from within and without.